1 Kings chapter 17, please, in your scriptures today. 1 Kings chapter 17, I appreciate again the opportunity to always be able to preach the Word of God. We're looking at a topic this morning entitled, When Your Brook Dries Up. When Your Brook Dries Up. This is not an unfamiliar story to any of us. Elijah is a familiar character to us, and Elijah is going to be transformed right now in this particular time in his life. He's going to be transformed from a common man into a battle-ready soldier. He's going to have, in the short near future, he's going to be standing on Mount Carmel, and he's going to take on the prophets of Baal, but he's not ready for that yet. And this particular illustration that we're going to look at this morning in his life is what's getting him ready for that. We all have to have time. We all have to have instruction. We all have to have training. And this is part of Elijah's boot camp, perhaps. We could say it that way. We have to be ready. We have lessons that we have to learn, courses that we have to take before we're ready to serve in the Lord's army. We have to go from being a man to a soldier. And this is what's happening to Elijah right here. Let's read, please, beginning at verse 1 of 1 Kings chapter 17. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Kereth, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Kereth, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. We'll end our reading there. There are lessons that we learn from this passage. The first thing that I would have us to see in our brief time together today is that this is the place that God ordained for Elijah to be. I would think after he'd stood in Ahab's presence and after he'd delivered that thundering message of God's judgment to Ahab, that God would have him be there for a while, that God would have him be in that place where Ahab would have access to him and hear from the Lord further. But that's not the case. The Lord told him in verse 2, he said, the Lord came unto him and said, Get thee hence. Get out of here. Go hide yourself. And he did so. And this is a little unusual. I think for me, I would have thought God would want to keep him in Ahab's presence for a while. But he wants to transform Elijah. It's very interesting to me, the first and last verses of this chapter. Very, very contrasting verses. Verse 1 says, And Elijah the Tishbite. But look at verse 24. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God. In this chapter, friends, Elijah went from being the Tishbite to being a man of God. And how did that come about? It came about by his brook drying up. And God is training Elijah. God is getting Elijah ready for a great ministry that he's going to have, but he's not ready yet because he's got to learn to trust God day by day. And if there's anything that we need right now in the situation that we find ourselves in this country, is we need to begin to understand how to be trained by God, how to live following God's leading in our life day by day. Because we don't know what next week's even going to bring. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We need to learn how to serve God today. And God's going to deal with Elijah with this place that he's taken him, this brook Kereth. The name of the place, it means to be cut off. Kereth means to be cut off. And God is cutting Elijah off right now from a public ministry. He's not going to be out in public for quite some time. He's just going to be gone. He's going to be off the scene. And it's very interesting here that I think one of the hardest lessons that we all have to learn in our lives is that before God can really use us in public, He's going to have to deal with us in private. And I've had to be dealt with in private in my life, and it's not pleasant. It's not a pleasant thing. But sometimes he has to take me away and get me alone so that he can deal with me. If I ever have a chance of doing something for him in this life, just as a silversmith has to boil the dross away. That's what's happening to Elijah now, and that's what's had to happen to me. And I imagine that's what's happened to some of you. It may not have happened to you yet. Your brook may not have dried up yet, but it's coming. It's coming. And so the name of that place is Kirith, which means to be cut off. But the nature of that place was very interesting to me. The nature of the brook Kirith, it's off the beaten path. If you look at the geography of this thing, it's by nature a very hard and lonely place in this land. And Elijah's going to be removed from the spotlight, and for a while he's just going to be all alone, him and God. And of all the lessons that we can learn from these verses, I think one of the most powerful lessons that we can learn is that sometimes it's what happens in your private life that determines what and who you're going to be for God. Elijah became a man of God in this chapter. He started out as a Tishbite. And by the end of the chapter, people were recognizing that, oh, he's a man of God. But how did that happen? How did that happen? It happened in this situation when God took him to the brook Kirith and he had to lean on God for his daily sustenance. He wasn't going to survive this without God being with him every day. And we need to learn. I've had to learn this, and I've still not got it straight yet, the value of a hidden life. The value of a hidden life. What you see right now with me speaking behind this pulpit and to this camera is not me. This is the public me. But God is interested in the private me. God is interested in what I am in private. And He's interested in what you are in private too. Not what you are publicly. We can all put on a good show publicly. But He's interested to know, this is not the part of me that defines me. The part of me that defines me is the part that you don't see, but the part that God sees, and the part that God works on. God wants me to come to the place where I can be found faithful in the hidden life. The hidden life, the life that's not on public view. Luke chapter 16 says it this way, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." And that's the truth of the matter. We have to come to the place where we're as willing to be hidden away as we are to be seen. And Elijah was now hidden away where God could work on him. That's the nature. That's the nature of Kirith. So the name itself means to be cut off. The nature of the place means you may be passed over. You may be overlooked for a while. You're not going to be in the public spotlight, but God is doing something in your life. And that's the name and nature of the place. But number three, would you notice with me the necessity of it? It was needed in Elijah's life. The necessity of this thing. Notice what it says in verse 4. "It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." There, T-H-E-R-E. That's a special place. Do you know that at this moment in Elijah's life, had he been anywhere else except the brook Kirith, he would have starved to death? You get that straight. If Elijah had been anywhere else, God had made provision to feed him there. Where are you right now? Where am I? Am I at Kirith? Am I where God wants me to be right now so that I am the beneficiary of His provision? Am I where God wants me right now so that He can be working on me? Or am I off wandering somewhere else while God is prepared to feed me there? Elijah had to be there. This is a very special place. And folks, when the Lord sends you to a difficult place, will you please understand that even though we have a tendency to want to be somewhere else, that's the place we need to be. It's where God is working. I mean, who likes pain? I don't like pain. Who likes sickness? Who likes being ill? Who likes being in financial reversal? I don't. But that may be Kirith. That may be exactly where God needs me to be so that He can work on me. And you've got to get this straight. What we've got to learn is if God sends us to Kirith, He knows what He's doing. And he'll take care of us. When we find ourselves in a difficult situation, there's nothing better than we can do than to submit to it. So there's the place, number one, the place that God ordained. But number two, may I show you the promise that God offered. The promise that God offered. In the context of this, Elijah is sent in the middle of nowhere to hide. Okay? God is protecting him. God is training him. And God's call is always going to be accompanied by God's provisions. We know that. Okay? That's a given from the Scripture. He's never going to send you to a place where he's not going to give you everything you need to survive in that place. And his place is always complete with provisions. And this involved a couple of things. Number one, it involved advanced planning. Advanced planning. Before the need ever arose, God said this. He says, it shall be, this is verse 4, where we're at, it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Before Elijah ever went there, God had taken care of the situation. God had made advanced plans. Nothing came up on God, and he said, oh, Elijah, I don't know how I'm going to feed him over there. Oh, this is not good. I didn't think this thing through. No, that's not how God talks. And guess what? God was not caught off guard or by surprise by coronavirus. No, God is not wringing his hands in despair, wondering, what am I going to do? No, God already had made provision. Before Elijah had ever gone to the brook Kirith, before you and I ever get into a situation, friends, God is there and God has made provision for it. Never forget that. Never forget that. Kirith always comes equipped with God's provision and with God's power and with God's presence. Kirith always comes that way. That's a truth. I can't comprehend it. I don't understand how it works, because I don't think like the mind of God. But regardless of my circumstance, regardless of my difficulty, God has provided for me. If I am there. If I'm there. See. And Elijah had to go there. It involved advanced planning, but it also involved an amazing provision. An amazing provision. Ravens? Are you kidding me? Ravens that are the scavengers of the earth are going to bring food? Where are they going to get the food? I don't know where they got the food. I'd like to think they got the food right off of Ahab's table, but I don't know that for sure. But I think wherever they got the food, they brought it to Elijah. Ravens. God had to suspend the very rules of nature to make that possible. This is incredible. God used them, the birds that feed off the flesh of the dead, to bring life-giving food to Elijah. That's amazing to me. That's amazing to me. Never forget, God knows exactly what you need. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. That's the promise. So there was an amazing provision. There was advanced planning. And number three, there was an abundant peace. Elijah he understood that God was going to take care of him. It says, verse 5, he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He stepped out by faith and obeyed. That's the secret. Obeying God is no more than just taking God at his word and following him. It's not rocket science. Now, it's hard to do, but it's not rocket science. So there's the place that God ordained, the promise that God offered, number three out of four. Number three out of four, it was the plan that God ordered. This was his plan for Elijah. And God had thought it through, and it was a sovereign plan. God is absolutely in control of this situation. And he had the brook ready for Elijah to drink. He had the food ready for Elijah to eat. It was all ordered by the Lord to teach Elijah that he could depend on the promises of God. And everything God told him would be there was there. And guess what? Everything God tells us is there for you and for me. It was a sovereign plan, it was a satisfying plan, and it was a submissive plan. Verse 5 says, he went and dwelt by the brook. And if I understand, and apologies to Brother Hankey if I don't get my word right here in Hebrew, but if I'm understanding correctly, the word dwelt there, I have in my Bible here a little comment that says that word means lived. He went there to stay. He didn't go to the brook Kirith as thinking, okay, this is just going to be an overnight camp out here, a couple of days and I'm out of here. No, he went because God said, go to Kirith. So he went to live in Kirith. And he wasn't looking at Kirith as being some kind of a stepping stone to something bigger and better. No, this was what God had for him right now. He was committed to it with 100% of his being. He went there to live. If I'm understanding that Hebrew term right, that word dwelt, it means he went there to live. He was going to go put down roots, and he was going to stay there till God moved him somewhere else. I can tell you, in my own experience, I don't go to a place that God calls me to with the idea that I'm going to stay for a couple of years and move on. I've not done that with local churches. I've not done that with schools. My last school that I taught in, I was there 34 years, and literally God had to drag me kicking and screaming. He had to change the situation so drastically that I knew it was time to go. And my intent here, for as long as the Lord leads me on this earth, I intend to be here. This is not a stepping stone to something else. I went to dwell. I want to follow what Elijah did. I want to, if God says you go somewhere, I'm going to work on you there. I'm going to train you there. I'm going there. That's the plan that God ordered. But lastly, and we have to be very quick with this, there was a problem. There was a problem that God orchestrated. The brook dried up. I don't know how long it took the brook to dry up. I don't know how many days Elijah looked at this thing, and it was getting narrower and narrower, and it was getting less and less water in the brook. And he might have even had to make a little dam, you know, to get enough water to put in his cup to drink. But one day, all that was left was just a dry stream bed. There was no water. And folks, I'm telling you, even when you're in the middle of God's will, and things seem to be, you know, God's providing for you and all that sort of thing, you're going to have a brook that dries up. You better be ready for it. That job that you've invested in for so many years dries up. The spouse that you've been married to and faithful to for so many years walks out on you. Your brook's going to dry up. What are you going to do? Your health that's always been so robust begins to fail. What are you going to do? Your brook's drying up. And just a couple of things about this. This had to devastate. This had to have devastated Elijah. Do you think that maybe he even started to think maybe God is not going to keep his promise to me? You ever think that maybe, you know, he might have felt abandoned by God, forsaken by God? You ever feel that way? You ever feel that way? I imagine Elijah did. But there are two things we've got to remember as we close today, and that's number one, the God who provides the water can also shut it off. The God who provides the water can also shut it off. And what was he shutting it off for? Because he was about to move Elijah into the next lesson. Okay? He was about to move Elijah on into the next lesson, and he's going to have to make it uncomfortable for Elijah so he'd leave the brook Kirith, because the brook Kirith, he'd learned to trust God there. And God took care of him there. And why would we want to leave that? Because God's got something else for us. See? And so his brook dried up. It was not because of his sin that the brook dried up. God's drying his brook up to move him on. So God, who provides the water, can also withhold the water. And number two, very important, a dry brook is not always a sign of God's displeasure. Now, it's true. It's true. Sometimes the brooks of life dry up because we start worshiping the gifts of God rather than the God himself. And I've been guilty of that in my own life, as God has gifted me with certain things, and I began thinking, oh, these are wonderful gifts of God, and I began looking at those gifts and how wonderful this water is and how wonderful it is that these ravens are bringing me food, and I forget that it's God who's behind it all. See? So yes, that sometimes is the case, but other times the brook dries up because God's got something better for us. And that's what happened here. God's got something better for us. God allowed the brook to dry up because there are times when in the middle of serving him, Abraham was serving God, and there was no problem in Abraham's life, and yet God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, and offer him up as a sacrifice for me. Joseph was in Potiphar's house. Joseph was doing the right before God. See? And God brings a situation in. The brook dried up. The brook dried up. Folks, listen. When your brook dries up, do you understand the truth of the Scripture? That we go on and we trust God day by day. As we walk this step, He shows us what the next step's going to be. As we go through this open door, He closes another one and opens a door. We trust God. The old gospel song says, simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Your Word, for its clarity, and we ask that today You would help us to trust You. Even when the way is stormy, even when the way is long, even when the way is dark, we can't see 5 inches in front of our face. Help us to trust Thee, because we know who holds tomorrow, and we know who holds our hand. We thank You for it all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.